Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a CityWire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. The two-pot retirement fund system is the most significant reform that the local pension fund industry has seen in recent years. Besides getting a handle on the legal changes, including the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill and the Pension Laws Amendment Bill, each and every private and public fund will also have to amend its rules to accommodate the new regime. The Financial Sector Conduct Authority, or FSCA for short, already allowed the funds that fall under its jurisdiction to start submitting their rule amendments from the beginning of this month. Rule amendments have to be approved or funds won't be able to see the savings pot or pay out withdrawals. Other changes like Section 14 transfers between products and platforms in terms of the Pension Funds Act will be put on hold, however, the regulator has said, as it wants to focus on the more imminent requirements of the two-part system. But if the red tape is not enough to keep administrators up at night as the 1 September deadline looms, industry experts have warned that the expected volume of withdrawal applications could add fuel to this fire. Tackling misinformation about the new system will also be tricky. It is for this reason that I invited John Anderson, Executive in Solutions and Enablement at Alex Forbes, into the studio today to help navigate CityWire listeners through some of the details of this expected frenzy. John has 20 years' experience in employee benefits and asset management and has consulted to a number of large clients as valuator, employee benefit consultant, investment consultant, and portfolio manager. He was the national head of consulting strategy for many years before leading the research and product development area in Alex Forbes Financial Services. John is a fellow of both the Actuarial Society of South Africa and the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries. He's also a member of the CISA Strategy and Policy Committee. Welcome, John.
Ron, thank you so much.
John, what are some of the major misconceptions around the new regime for members?
No, there are actually quite a few, and top of my list is there seems to be some views out in the industry and doing the rounds that the two-pot system is not happening 1 September. So I think that is a big mistake. And yes, the legislation hasn't yet been finally signed, but at the end of the day, both the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill as well as the Pension Funds Amendment Bill is sitting with the President. It's gone through the full parliamentary process. And once he signs, once he finds his pen, and we're convinced he will, it will be effective 1 September. So I think it's important that it's a myth out there that it's not happening 1 September. It is happening. What will probably then happen thereafter is some corrections to some of the legislation, but that'll be more tweaking rather than, you know, a reason for it not to happen. So that's the first one. The second one that we get a lot of is people believe that this is a once-off opportunity that they should take advantage of and they'll never to be repeated. So just to clarify that on 1 September, what will happen is for all retirement funds that qualify under this new regime, and there are some that are excluded, but for most funds, your administrators will be taking the balances at the end of August, and then 10% of your accumulated savings, subject to a maximum of 30,000, will be used to as an opening balance for your savings pot. You don't need to do anything. It'll just be an opening balance. After that, your contributions will be split between a retirement pot and the savings pot, and it will grow with returns in the normal course of events, and it will be accessible at any time. So it's not a once-off opportunity. It's accessible at any time, but there are restrictions. Once per annum, in a tax year, you can withdraw, and it's subject to a minimum of 2,000 Rand. But the point is, it's not something that you have to take advantage of. the facility will be set up and it'll be available at any time. So that's an important one. The other one is that we get a lot of is people seem to believe that everybody's getting 30,000. You know, there's this figure of the 30,000 going around. That is just the maximum. So what would happen on 1 September is your opening balance of the savings pot will be, as I said, 10% of your accumulated savings at that time, subject to a maximum of 30,000. So if you've got no pension savings, there's no balance. So that number is zero. If you've got 100,000 in your retirement savings, and that fund is one of the funds that the new legislation applies to, your balance, the opening balance of your savings pot will be 10% of 100,000. So that's 10,000 Rand. And that'll be allocated. And that, together with returns and future contributions, is available. So the bottom line is, and then the last one is, if your balance is 10,000 Rand in your retirement savings at 1 September, 10% of that is 1,000 Rand. That is below the 2,000 Rand minimum. So you'll have to wait until your savings pot gets to at least 2,000 Rand before you can actually take that. And then the last one that we do get some questions on is, pensioners sometimes believe, what does it mean for them? Are they also getting access? And the short answer is, if you are a pensioner and you've retired before 1 September, the answer is no. The two-pot system will not be applicable in those cases.
John, what are some of the immediate imperatives that retirement funds should consider around the upcoming changes?
No, thanks. So the first one is get prepared. And I think for that, it's making sure that your admin systems are up and running. They are ready to transact. The interfaces there for members are available. Very important. These are very different processes from your usual withdrawal and retirement claims. What's happening now is administrators will be dealing directly with members on an ongoing basis to access savings claims and to assist them with that. It's very important to make sure that your administrators are ready, the contact centers are ready, they can handle the volumes, and that at a fund level, you've done an impact assessment to make sure that your fund is ready, all the things are in place, and also have a look at what the volume of claims are going to be, what that means for your communication strategy, and very importantly, cybersecurity. I think because administrators are now dealing directly with members, there is an extra risk that comes into play with fraud, and that needs to be mitigated and managed. So it'll be the first time that funds will have to go through those types of things. So cybersecurity, extremely important. And then very important is member communication. What between now and 1 September, as we highlighted in the previous question, there's a lot of misconception around the two-pot system. And it's up to all of us now to make sure between now and September, members are given the right information, they understand exactly how it's going to work, what does it mean for them, and what do they need to do at the end of the day. And we also need to make sure that HR at employers are trained up, because if you're part of a scheme run by an employer, there's going to be a lot of questions that will be fielded by the HR departments of employers, and they need to be upskilled to make sure that happens. And the last thing is just making sure that all your service level agreements, everything is in place for your various service providers, so that everybody in the value chain can deliver great service to members from 1 September.
John, a further implication of the new regime may be that freestanding funds will consider moving to umbrella funds. But will a preference in group annuities not be an additional consequence, or even pose a risk to the umbrella fund structure itself?
I think that's a great question. So we've definitely seen a trend in the industry, the move from freestanding funds to umbrella funds, and that's to make things easy. Essentially, employers outsourcing that to umbrella fund providers so that they can focus on their main business. There's also a lot of efficiencies that come through with that. On the back of Two-Pot, we have already seen quite a number of large employers also looking at moving to umbrella to make things easy. And the reason for that is that an umbrella fund would have already gone through the process I previously mentioned, and it can also spread the cost of that across all the different participants and make things easy for employers. And you don't need to worry about the issues in terms of trustee responsibility, etc. That being said, though, there's a place for both. There's still a place for freestanding. We still see a lot of benefits in that. It's really up to employers and the trustees of those funds if they can manage all these things. And then for some of them, they're likely to move to umbrella, as I've said. And then you are quite right, group retirement annuities are now also available. However, still think that there's a lot of benefits in umbrella funds. Group RAs are probably more suitable for smaller employers or employers that haven't yet put in a savings arrangement in place, but also for employers that want to maybe give more choice to members. So there definitely is a place. Time will tell, though. I think the bottom line is that all retirement funds from 1 September are treated the same. They've got the same tax treatment, the same treatment on withdrawal, the same treatment on retirement. So it's just a matter of evaluating the pros and the cons between those three options to see what is best suited for particular employers.
John, while many funds are understandably obsessed with how the new system will be implemented and administered, surely funds should look beyond this. What are some of the implications of allowing early access to pension savings for both the funds and its members? Liquidity constraints is one thing that comes to my mind.
Yes, now that's a fantastic question. So we've had a look at this, and the immediate answer is that in the build-up to 1 September, there's going to be a large volume of queries. So the implications are going to be contact centers, employers, people asking questions. Therefore, it's important to make sure that the right information is there to handle those volumes. Come 1 September, the main implication is that people cannot access in the short term a portion of their retirement savings that they could only access previously if they resign. But we've run some numbers. The claim volumes are expected to be quite high. So we expect somewhere between 50 and 70% of fund members to actually claim. The reasons for that are that high levels of indebtedness, people are financially stretched. We know the economy, we're struggling. Also, we know that based on past experience, when people do get access, because they're trying to make ends meet, chances are they're going to access. So a huge proportion of members, however, it's probably going to be at lower values. So people that have saved up generally have other means available and won't be under as much pressure. So it's probably going to result in lots of claims, but smaller amounts. What does that mean in terms of funds investment strategies? Our expectation is that on average, we're looking at somewhere between a 1% and a 2% withdrawal of assets from the industry over the next 12 months. So it's not significant. I think if you add up the number in terms of rands for the total industry, it appears big, but as a percentage of a retirement fund, it's actually not big. And therefore, most funds shouldn't have issues with liquidity. Remember, it's not just going to happen at 1 September. People need to evaluate their options, look at what they're going to do. And our expectation is between September, October, November, there'll be a spike in claims, and then it'll come down, but it'll be spread out over the course of the 12 months following 1 September. So what we've seen in practice is most funds not needing to adjust their investment strategies. There are exceptions, though. Some funds have specific portfolios that are illiquid. You need to specifically have a look at that. And you definitely need to have a look at funds that, especially with guaranteed funds, smooth bonus funds, what are the implications around that, especially around the terms and conditions around those withdrawals. So one must look very carefully at that. But other than those, I think, you know, the numbers from an asset point of view, quite small, but your administrators are going to be under huge pressure with lots of claims. And to put that into perspective, in an ordinary year, claims are running at about 15% of total membership. In one go, over the next few months, administrators will have to deal with claims of four times that in a three-month period, as an example. So I think that's the big implication there.
John, let's continue that train of thought. Allowing early access can also compound the problem where pensions won't be adequate to cover people's retirement. But early access to savings does have some benefits. How should the industry start adjusting their thinking around catering for other financial needs of their clients?
No, this is fantastic. And, you know, if you go back to the whole reason why the two-pot system was introduced, it was exactly to help individuals balance their short-term needs and their long-term needs. So as you recall, under COVID, their salaries were reduced, or they were going to be losing their jobs. People needed emergency savings, and they couldn't access retirement funds because the legislation didn't permit it while you're still employed. So, but there's also this need to balance other short-term needs, so needs for emergency. There's things like, I'm not able to save any more than what I'm currently contributing, but I do need to cater for my kids' education. I'm highly indebted. I need to pay that off. So there are certain other goals that individuals have where, in fact, it may be beneficial to make use of the savings pot for that purpose. So the savings pot is created for you that the way to think about it is the primary purpose of your retirement savings is for retirement, and it consists of two components, the savings part and the retirement part. The savings part, you can accelerate accessing that. So instead of getting it at retirement, your one-third lump sum that you could, you know, get tax-free or certain tax concessions, you can accelerate the payment of that and access it. And there are valid goals, as I said, highly indebted, education, and there might be a few other goals, maybe for saving for, you know, house, a deposit. And if you work out the math, it may be beneficial for individuals to actually use their savings pot for that, free up money, and then later on, make up the difference. Remember, your other two-thirds will always be preserved going forward. So what I'm saying is that it's quite important that, you know, in the industry, people are constantly saying, don't access your savings pot. And although the primary purpose is retirement, that is not correct. The correct thing is look at the individual circumstances, look at their needs, balance the short and long term, and there are circumstances where it would be beneficial for people to take their savings pot. That being said, though, people mustn't take it without considering the pros and the cons, the costs involved, the tax involved. And that's why it's important for advisors to assist individuals in balancing those two. But I think that the industry must start thinking about how they can support this balancing of short and long term by helping individuals rather than saying, don't access your two-pot. It's not realistic. People are, you know, financially stretched, and there are circumstances where it actually would be good for them to access it.
John, one of the glitches that I've picked up in the proposed framework is when pension fund members withdraw their benefits ahead of a divorce, non-member spouses aren't protected under the new regime. The Pension Funds Amendment Bill proposes that withdrawals from savings pots will be restricted and will only be finalized when a divorce proceedings have been instituted formally. This is one of many criticisms of the framework. Where will the lawyers and member representatives even start to thrash out such complications as the deadline ticks down over the next few months?
Yeah, that was a big talking point in the build-up to the latest legislation. So I think just to simplify things, from 1 September, if divorce proceedings have initiated and non-member spouses can show that that is the case. Savings claims cannot be paid out unless there is consent from the non-member spouse. So there does it does actually introduce some protection to non-member spouses. So for in practical terms, what it means is, as an administrator, when you're trying to pay out a claim, you're going to check, is there a divorce in progress? If that is the case, the savings pot claim is paused, and then permission is sought from the non-member spouse. If the non-member spouse doesn't give permission to go ahead, no claim is paid out. If the non-member spouse does give permission and agrees to it, then the process can continue. So I think some of that has now been clarified in the final version. Any divorce before 1 September will still be treated under the old rules. From 1 September, the new rules apply. And then I think another important point is that in the Pension Funds Amendment Bill, the definition of pension interest has been broadened, so that it does allow for more protection, you know, for members other than just the active members of funds. The other thing is just to remember that from 1 September, only 10% will be the opening balance, 10% subject to a maximum of 30,000. You will still have the vested pot that will be ring-fenced. So there's still that protection for non-member spouses. You can't access that as a member unless you either withdraw or retire. So that's still in there. That vested pot will remain a sizable balance for some time to come. So I think some of it has been clarified, but I think in practice we'll have to see from 1 September when actual cases come forth, what are the other nuances that maybe weren't thought of prior to 1 September.
John, as you just mentioned, individuals will be able to access the savings pot in the new system. This is limited to 1/3 of the individual's total retirement savings. The other 2/3 must remain preserved at all times. So what do Alex Forbes models indicate on new member accumulations and future fund values compared to the current system?
No, great question. And this is the reason why, despite some of the short-term issues around getting ready and maybe a spike in claims in the short term where people might access, you know, some of the once-off, in the long run, members are better off under this new system. And the reason, from a retirement point of view, and the reason for that is up until now, the main reason for people not getting an adequate pension at retirement is because every time they change jobs, most members, 90%, take cash for various reasons, including it's just administratively easier just to take it for no other reason. So going forward, 2/3 of your contributions that are accumulated after 1 September are automatically earmarked for retirement. And that automatically means that that balance is greater than what it would have been under the old regime. We've done some calculations to show that, the average replacement ratio or the expected pension of a person at retirement currently is about 30 cents to every rand, right? And the big reason why it's so low is because of people take cash. Over the long term, as the new system matures and more of the contributions go into the retirement pot and is preserved for retirement, we've shown that 30 cents increases to 60 cents. So for every 1 rand that you've got a salary at retirement, your new pension, but it's over the long term, is 60 cents. So it's at least a doubling, and in some cases, more than doubling of your pension at retirement. So getting us closer to what a reasonable pension would be for individuals. It will, however, take time to get there because your vested pot has been ring-fenced. And people can still access that on an ongoing basis when they withdraw and under the old rules. But for all new members, the new generation are expected to retire with a decent pension.
Most formerly employed individuals are covered by formal retirement arrangements, and those pots will continue to cook in future. However, there are groups of individuals that are not covered by any form of retirement savings. What are some of the retirement reforms in the pipeline that could be considered to remedy this gap in the market?
So the immediate one is, so after the two-pot system that's been implemented, the next one that we can expect is what's termed auto-enrollment. What does that mean? It means that for individuals that are employed, the employers will need to automatically enroll individuals into some form of retirement savings. So if you're currently, if your employer currently has a scheme, no impact over there. However, if you're working for an employer that currently doesn't offer, they would have to enroll you into a scheme. And that's where we see group RAs fulfilling a really good role in those certain instances. Chances are the details must still be looked at, but people would probably be able to opt out. So it's you automatically enroll, but you opt out, similar to the way that things are run in the UK. So, and I think that's a great solution for individuals that are employed in the formal sector who are not yet covered by a retirement fund. For the informal sector, other solutions will be needed. There are many complications with the informal sector in terms of affordability, practical, how you can administer things like that. So I think that's probably more for the longer term to resolve. But the next one, as I said, is auto-enrollment. And that then should mean that everybody who's formally employed is fully in the net after that.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And thank you, John, for joining us and for providing us with your insights on the two-pot retirement system. We will all just have to wait and see how this all pans out. But in the interim, I'm sure money managers, members, and financial advisors have a lot to think about. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uester. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, goodbye.